Last year I was making a short video about the music boycott, and then the attack on the Mavi Marmara happened. And that became the overall frame of that video, which is called Vuvuzela. And so it starts and it ends with the boat, and ends with the pictures of the nine guys who were killed, the nine peace activists who were killed. And so that it became that much more haunting working with that imagery and thinking about those guys and the bravery of everybody who'd been on that boat. And so I became involved in just supporting the boat, the Canadian boat effort. And then the dates changed. And I didn't have excuses anymore about not being available, because before, when it was going to sail, I was still, I have teaching and I have exams, and now I'm free. I'm on sabbatical. And so when I realized the dates actually had freed me up, I thought this is actually something I want to do. Really inspired by the people who were on the boat. Really inspired by that sort of collective effort, 1,000 people, 10 boats, 10 plus boats. So.
And are you worried about the Israeli military response?
Oh, yes. It's, I think we'd all be crazy not to be. And I think the last thing you can set your watch to is the predictability of Israeli response to anything. I mean, irrationality seems to be, ingrained in the DNA, in the Israeli DNA, the military DNA at least, or the governmental DNA. But I do think that the planning has been so extraordinary, mobilizing this flotilla, the scale of it, the fact that people like Alice Walker are lending a international credibility to the international credibility and validity to our effort. And I think, Alice's line about this is the freedom ride of, our generation is, it really gives the frame that we need in terms of understanding what we're doing. It made me go back and look at the documentaries from 1961 about the freedom ride, when it was a bus, not a boat, but it was whites and blacks together going from the north down to the south to desegregate the south. And, it's an incredibly hopeful example, because we as a movement, as a peace movement, ended segregation. Yeah, things are still terrible. Things are still rough in the States. Things are still rough everywhere. But we won a huge victory in the United States around segregation, in South Africa around apartheid. This is our next, this is our movement's next challenge.
And just quickly, I know you're involved with Queers Against Israeli Apartheid. Can you give an update as to what's happening with the Pride Parade?
Sure, I'll try. As you know, the city the city's found, voted just a couple days ago to accept the city manager's report declaring that the term Israeli apartheid violates no discrimination laws, Kwaya violates no discrimination laws, Pride violates no discrimination laws, we're all Freedom March, etc. Kwaya, though, made a strategic political decision this year not to march, because we were being used by Rob Ford as a pretext for defunding Pride. And we wanted his homophobia to stand out for what it is, and not have people distracted by the issues around Israel. So instead, what we're doing is a bunch of actions. I organized a video screening a few nights ago at Beit Zeitun. We're bringing Sarah Shulman to town. We're marching in the Stonewall Alternative March, the Independent March, which has nothing to do with Pride. We're marching from Queen's Park to the 519 with all the coolest radical folks in town. So
When's that happening?
That's happening on the 26th, so I'm sadly going to miss it. I'll be otherwise occupied, but I'll be sending my prideful thoughts across the water.
And what's happening with the Pride funding? Where does it stand?
Pride funding is intact. Mammoletti and Ford have attached a rider saying they won't sign the check until Pride's over, and that if there's even a hint of the A word, the apartheid word, they're going to refuse funding. Legally, they actually can't do that. Like, in every way, it's a joke. They're demonstrating what clowns they are, messing with the law in this way. I mean, it's it's pretty shameful behavior that we've come to expect from them. So they continue to be the, you know, incompetent, dangerous monsters that they are, but we're going forward and doing our thing.
And for Canadians who aren't aware of the issues in Gaza and the Palestinian struggle, you know, why should they become interested and why should they try to educate themselves on the issue?
This is an issue for all Canadians, and that's why the boat represents all Canadians. You know, every province, I think, is represented, and we come from all walks of life, and it's an issue which I think touches all our lives, because in part our government has decided to prioritize its relationship with Israel. It's extremely, you know, Israel's new best friend at the expense of the Palestinian people, and we as taxpayers have a duty, I think, to speak up and say not in our name. So the move, you know, one of the most exciting movements around right now, Not in Our Name, emphasizes that you can't do that, whether it's on behalf of Jewish people who oppose the occupation or Canadians who oppose the occupation. We all have a responsibility to take a stand and speak out. And we should be speaking out on every issue. And we do.